Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Dialect Coach's Corner podcast, the place where we love exploring language and the way people speak it. I'm Jerome Butler, your dialect coach, and we're again down here in Hotlanta, the ATL, Dogwood City, Atlanta, GA, and I'm excited to have as my guest on the podcast a very talented young actress who is amassing an impressive list of credits. You've seen her in Xena, Warrior Princess, The Tribe, Neighbors, Outrageous Fortune, Grey's Anatomy, Perception, Drop Dead Diva. She's appearing in the soon-to-be-released thriller The Taking, and she's currently down here in Atlanta working on the John Hillcoat-directed film Triple Nine. If we had a studio audience, they'd be putting their hands together right now for Michelle Ang. Welcome to the podcast, Michelle.
Hi, Jerome. Thank you for inviting me here.
How have you been enjoying Atlanta since you've been down here?
I have been having a blast. I came here about 2 weeks ago, and I only have 4 days left. And it's a nice change from being in a desert, because I live in Los Angeles, and it's been raining here a little bit, which I'm loving. it's great. I'm staying downtown, and I don't have a car, so I'm making the most of exploring on foot.
Yeah.
Which is taking me through some interesting parts of the city.
I think
there was a bomb scare on the first day that I arrived, so at the MARTA station. So that was exciting. But then there's also really great natural scenic attractions like Piedmont Park. So I went there, I think, 2 days ago and went for a run, hung out by the lake, lay in the grass.
Very, very beautiful. And you currently live in Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's right. It's a new-ish home for me. I've only been there for like a year and a half.
Mm-hmm. And before that, you lived in New York, correct?
I did. I love that city.
And how would you describe the difference between New York and Los Angeles?
I feel like New York as a city with an energy dial, it's like the dial is turned up to 10. And in LA, it's kind of a more muted, like, energy dial of 2. And I think that's a consequence of the fact that New York is such a concentrated city. It's like bound geographically. You know, Manhattan is an island. The buildings are tall and a little claustrophobic. Mm-hmm. People are literally living on top of one another. And I think that that forces some really great dynamics. Like you're piled into a subway train with like a lawyer and then a homeless person and then an artist. And so all of these walks of life are forced to communicate to each other, which I love. And I feel like it kind of feeds into life in a really great way. Whereas in Los Angeles, you do get those different lifestyles being lived. But because everyone drives, there's no serendipitous interaction. Like people keep to themselves. You get in your car, you drive from A to your planned B. There's no like happenstance that like makes you bump into a stranger and strike up some new conversation, you know? So I miss that a little.
You don't actually want to bump into people when you're driving in Los Angeles.
Yeah, not so much.
Since you've been down here, you've decided to stay in the dialect for the character, right?
Yes.
So I very much appreciate you graciously agreeing to do this interview in your natural speaking voice, which is different from the one you're speaking in now.
That is correct.
So where are you from? Where were you born and raised?
Well, Jerome, I'm actually from New Zealand, and I was born in Christchurch, and this is how I normally sound.
Shut the phone off. What?
Yep, that's right. I'm a New Zealander of Asian ethnicity, which can be confusing, I think, for some Americans when they see me. They don't expect me to have this particular kind of accent come out of my mouth.
That's very, very impressive. How did you pick up such a wonderful general American accent?
Well, I think we're lucky in New Zealand. Most of our television, our films, our music even is really American. So the sound of the generic American accent anyway isn't new to our ears. But something that I've really relished since living in America is starting to pick up the nuances of the different dialects. Like I had no idea that there were so many different kinds of American accents.
You grew up in the capital.
I did, in Wellington.
What was that like?
Well, I am a child of the 80s. And, you know, New Zealand is a fairly young country. So as a result, there's a lot of different immigrants that make up its society. Even when I was growing up, it was still fairly, you know, like there weren't that many. So I was one of like 2 Asian kids at my primary school. And just like any young kid, you want to fit in. My mum and dad came to New Zealand to do college, so I'm first generation, and they really wanted me to be able to learn and speak some form of like Chinese, which is what the rest of my family speaks.
Yes.
So they sent me to language school every Saturday, which sucked for me because obviously all my friends were out having a weekend and I was doing 4 hours of language study. But, you know, unfortunately, I just didn't retain it because I wanted to just fit in. I had no idea how important it might be to me later on to be able to speak Chinese.
Yes.
I can't really write it.
Well, I mean, in your defense, I have heard that it takes years to learn how to write Chinese characters.
Yeah, it sure does. To write and to read, like, you need 10,000 characters to be able to read a newspaper. Mm. Also, remember that Chinese as a written language is not like English. We don't have an alphabet that you put letters together to assemble a word. Each character is the word, so you actually have to remember whole words to build a vocabulary.
Yes. So what are the Chinese characters that make up your name?
My middle name is Chinese, and that's Chao Yan. And that means graceful swallow, like the bird. So Chao is graceful, and Yan is swallow.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I think that a lot of Americans would find, well, I certainly found it interesting about New Zealand, that you can just walk up to the prime minister's, you know, front door and, you know, just knock on it, tell him that you don't like his policies or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're a small enough country, and we, like I mentioned, we're sort of bred off the working class. So there's a real sense of lack of hierarchy. I think that's one of the most beautiful things about New Zealand. Like, we don't have celebritydom, you know, like the most famous news anchor will do their grocery shopping and, you know, would be just the same as, you know, some mum doing her grocery shopping for her kids. Like, yeah, there's a sense of everyone being of the same strata, which is really nice. Yeah, and we're very open. I actually feel like culturally that's something that I've noticed. It was a sort of difference, because I don't know, I feel like in America there does seem to be a sense that people look up to people, and then as a result there's a certain, there's just, you know, there's just different stratas. But I think in New Zealand it's much more of a level playing field.
Yes, yes.
It's called, New Zealand has a syndrome called tall poppy syndrome. I don't know if you've heard it. It's basically the concept that if you think that you're better than everybody else and you stick up too high, like you stand up too tall, people will cut you down and be like, hey, I remember when you, like, you know, did this in high school and you're just like the rest of us, don't get big boots now, you know? Yeah.
Yes. So you were, I mean, because I look at your credits and you were a household name or a household face. And I mean, you did over 100 episodes of a very popular television series.
Yeah. You know, I was really lucky. I kind of fell into the whole acting thing through my love of dance, actually. I'm a trained ballerina. And before any American Idol or So You Think You Can Dance, before any of those sorts of variety shows came out in America, New Zealand actually had like a national show where it was a competition and young kids would come and they could either sing a song, play an instrument or dance. And then in between all those competitors, there was like a hosting troupe that would like perform entertainment acts in between. And I was one of those kids. I was one of, I think there were 8 of us. And so we did become a household name because that was the number one most watched program in New Zealand in the 90s. So I got a lot of exposure as a young teenager, and from there I sort of segued into the drama side of acting and didn't really look back.
How would you describe some of the differences between New Zealand dialects and Australian dialects? Do people confuse that with you a lot?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, especially I think to the American ear, they sound really similar. I would beg to differ. I feel like Australians talk thinner to me. Like their lips are pursed and thinner. And the classic example is the letter I. Mm. So an Australian would say something like, oh, do you want to go and get some fish and chips? So fish and chips, like the eyes drawn really thin.
Yes.
Whereas a Kiwi or a New Zealander would say, hey, do you want to get some fish and chips? So the fish and chips, it's like the I almost becomes a U, like a really lazy fish chips. Yeah. I myself, I went to private school, so I think as a result of that, I speak quite proper. Like, you know, well-educated New Zealander. So sometimes I get mistaken for being British. I actually think the New Zealand accent is most similar to the South African accent with the hard A, the African, because of the Dutch influences in both of our countries' histories.
Yes.
I've actually gone up to South Africans before in England and said, oh, what part of New Zealand are you from? And they're like, oh, no, I'm South African.
Wow.
Yeah.
That means that there are a variety of dialects in New Zealand.
Yeah, oh, well, absolutely. Like in any country, we've got two islands, and like I said, most we were founded on the middle class of England, so like the sort of farming stock of England. Mm-hmm. But we have a lot of ties and immigrants from like Scotland and Ireland, particularly in the South Island. So, for example, there is a city in the South Island called Dunedin, which I'm sure you can tell, Dunedin, it's Scottish. Mm-hmm. And there, they roll their R's, which sounds almost American in a way. Like they would say, all the girls in the world live in Gore. The R's, all the girls. Yeah, but that's only distinctly in the south of the South Island in New Zealand. And then there's the real farming or the country accent, which is the really broad New Zealand accent, where people would talk like this, like really kind of, it's quite harsh if you can hear it. It's probably not the most attractive accent, but that's how they talk. Quite often if you're watching the news and they're talking, you know, about some topical things, they'll go out to the country and you'll hear people talk like this.
Yes.
And then there's the street accent, which, so the indigenous people of New Zealand are called the Maori people. They've got like a cheeky, yeah, I guess it'd be called like the street accent. So a lot of the young kids, they'd be talking like this, bro. So they'll be saying, oh, bro, or cuz, like, how are you doing, cuz? Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sweet, eh? So it's like a real lazy accent, you know? And like, I guess if, you know, if we were doing, and this is a generalization, of course, but like, say if you're doing like a gangster film and a set in New Zealand, they'll be talking like this, eh? They'll be talking in this kind of accent. We call it the bro accent.
Mm.
So, yeah, so there's that kind of accent too.
Wow.
And with it comes the lingo, you know, like the classic New Zealand lingo. It's like, oh, choice. Oh, that's choice, bro. Bro, cars, everyone's a bro, a cars, or a sis. You know, hey, sis, what's up, you know?
Nice. The country of New Zealand is, I mean, you guys are taking over the world, entertainment-wise.
We are? I think for a small country, we do punch above our weight. And I do really believe that that's because we're kind of on our own in the South Pacific. You know, we're so far removed from everybody that from a creative standpoint, we have the freedom. We're not as privy to the trends that maybe North America is privy to. So it's kind of freeing. Like, we make our own trends or we figure out the own way to do things. And in New Zealand, there's this, we call it the number eight wire mentality, meaning, and it's a reference to the old farming days, it means we don't have the technology or the money to do it the way the big players do it, so we figure out our own cheeky, weird way to, like, get the same result but find a new creative path to it, you know?
Yes.
Number eight wire mentality.
Number eight wire mentality.
Yeah. It harks back to, like, back in the farming days, you know, number eight wire, it's a special gauge of wire, and you'd use it to, like, fix your fence or, like, mend your doorknob or, you know, like you use it for every, it's like a patch or be all kind of thing.
Very, very useful.
Yeah.
Like it can fill in a lot of different situations.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's the New Zealand mentality. It's like, oh yeah, we might not have all the tools to do it, but we'll figure out a different way to do it.
That's kind of the way we think about things here at dialectcoachescorner.com.
Nice.
And we're going to be right back with Michelle Lang.